What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Bruce Irving, here with you for another episode of the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Miriam from the Za Report is reporting to the podcast this week. We're going to talk about her journey from pizza maker, pizza investigator, pizza entrepreneur. We're going to talk all about that, how she got started with that. It's a great episode. Obviously, 2020 did a tremendous amount to people's businesses, and Miriam very much pivoted from doing tours and working on her side project or her main project as a designer to making pizza for people in her area and for first responders, and really dives deep into the process of making pizza and how that's turned into a business for her. Very knowledgeable about pizza, so even if you own a restaurant, this is going to be an episode you're going to want to listen to because she does a great job with marketing herself, getting customers for a business that doesn't even really exist, how she gets pizza pop-ups, and what goes into her Instagram philosophy when it comes to marketing her business. Great episode. I very much think you're going to enjoy this one. It's very fun to talk to people who are doing things that they love. You know, we do this podcast and we talk to people who are in business, and the motivation for me is to share stories and information about how to market, how to get your name out there. But it all starts with actually doing what you like to do. Because all the marketing in the world and all the business in the world, and no matter how busy you are, if you hate what you do, it's never going to be fun. And Miriam definitely has fun with what she does, and it was really fun to talk to her and share her story on the podcast. Before we get into the episode with Miriam, I do have to say thank you to the show sponsor, Forza Forni. I'm actually on the website Forza Forni right now. They do a tremendous job. They're not going to Pizza Expo this year, but if you check out ForzaForni.com, whether you're a home baker or a professional looking for an oven upgrade, or maybe you're looking to get started. Maybe you are a home baker, but you want to start your oven, or you want to start your business. Go check out Forza Forni. They have a great amount of resources. Plus, they're very helpful when it comes to picking the right oven for your type of pizza. ForzaForni.com. Unfortunately, they are not going to be at the Pizza Expo this year, but I'm assuming they are going to be at Pizza and Pasta, and they'll be back next year with me at the booth doing interviews. So ForzaForni.com for all your oven and pizza needs. They also have a home version of the website where you can pick up utensils and dough trays and all that stuff for all of your home baking needs. Again, ForzaForni.com is the website for that one. If you're looking for consistent quality and superior fresh tomato flavor, check out Stanislaus Food Products. Real Italian values guide this family-owned company. Values like work hard, never cut corners, always do your best, and keep your word. They know consistent flavor and quality is crucial to great food. That's why they work so hard to provide you with the freshest tomato flavor can after can. You can follow them on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes for weekly business building ideas from other successful pizzerias. And I have to say, over the past few months, I've been using Stanislaus products in my pizzas that you see over on Instagram that I'm making at home. And I'm very happy with the results. I love this food product. And I am very picky about who we suggest you use here on the podcast. So if you hear them on the podcast, you know I endorse them. I use them. I enjoy them. So if you're listening to this, go check them out on Instagram at Stanislaus Tomatoes. You will not regret it. All right, don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've been doing interviews as well over there. It's Smart Pizza Marketing on YouTube. If YouTube is your thing in your home and you want to watch these people live and join us in the conversation over there, sometimes we put up episodes over there that we don't necessarily put here on the podcast. So it's unique content over there as well. Again, youtube.com/smartpizzamarketing. And if you want to get involved, I think I put something up on Twitter today about how being an entrepreneur or a business owner gets lonely. There's a lot of stress, anxiety, sometimes depression, because you're in it alone. You're in it and your employees don't necessarily know what you're going through. Being the business owner has its perks for sure, but it also has its downside. All the pressure is on you. Everything leans on your shoulders. Every decision that's made in the business is your responsibility. And sometimes that's tough. And sometimes you need other people who understand what it's like to be a business owner. That's why I started the Mastermind Group, not necessarily just to teach you about marketing, because yes, that's definitely part of it, but it's just about engaging with other business owners and talking through problems and realizing that, you know what, even though you may have some problems in your business, you're not alone. There's other people who are going through that same thing and they can help you out through the process. SmartPizzaMarketing.com/mastermind if you want to get involved with that. We have a couple monthly meetings. We also have a private Facebook community. And we also teach you how to do marketing. We're doing a TikTok challenge right now. We're going to be doing a email marketing challenge in the future. We've done an Instagram challenge in the past that you all get part of as well. So not only do you get ideas and inspiration, but you also get a shoulder to lean on, so to speak. That being us. And we can help you with any problem you may be having in your business. So again, smartpizzamarketing.com/mastermind if you want to get involved with that. All right, enough from me. Excited to have you join us for this episode with Miriam from The Za Report. All right, what's up, everybody? Miriam from The Za Report, known as on Instagram, is joining me. I'm excited to talk to her. I've seen her on Instagram. She's doing really cool stuff, doing pop-ups, and it's amazing to see how she's grown over the last year. I'm excited to talk to her. Miriam, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad that I'm able to finally get on and just have a crustastic conversation about pizza and everything that could possibly be about it with you.
I know. Pizza is amazing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's like the one thing that we all, yeah, it's one of those things. I did pizza tours with Scott Wiener for 8 years, and I found I could take 16 strangers around for a tour for 2.5 to 3 hours, and everyone could put all their differences aside and just talk about pizza. So I'm convinced that, like, it is the one thing that exists in the universe that we all love it in some way, but it's like we can all have a commonality and talk about it.
Yeah. And even now with all the ways that you can kind of get away from people who have, you know, gluten allergies or, you know, are vegans, there's so many different possibilities. I think I put something on Instagram the other day. I said, you know, if you don't, never trust a person who doesn't like pizza.
I 100% agree with that. Put it on a shirt, put it on a mug, whatever you can. I will preach that.
Right?
Because like when I did the tours, I'd get people on there and I'd be like, I hate pizza. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? Let's talk about this. And I would generally gear those tours around trying to figure out what it was they didn't like about pizza. And most of the time it had to do with the sauce. But like, even though like my dad, I've managed to teach him so much about pizza just through my process of becoming a professional baker myself. And it's understanding the quality of the ingredients and the person behind baking is what makes it magical. But like, if somebody hates pizza, I find it has mostly to do with the sauce.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I found. Or like, it's like, why else would you hate pizza? What is there to hate pizza about? I mean, look how cute pizza is. No reason to hate it.
I know, right? It's like, too, it's so versatile. You can do so many different things with pizza. And I know some people will get mad at me and be like, Bruce, that's not pizza. But there's so many different things you can do with the crust or the toppings and the cheese or not cheese or whatever kind of cheese you use to make it a form where no matter what you like, you can figure out something with pizza to make somebody enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Ohio, so traditionally our pizza was tavern style pizza. Marion's Pizza, like to this day, is one of my all time favorite places. I'm hoping they start shipping them again. Otherwise I'm gonna have to just talk to Chris Cassano and be like, Chris, can you please just keep my freezer filled with your amazing pizza? Because like they're related technically, but like there's the pizza wars in Ohio. But so our pizza is cut into little tiny squares. And I was the youngest of four. So the most coveted pieces of pizza are the entire perimeter because they're the crisp, they're the crunchiest and the most crisp. So I'd always get stuck with like that soggy middle piece. When people are like, you're from Ohio, do you know what a wedge is? I'm like, of course I know what a wedge is. We also have Papa John's. Come on.
Right.
But yeah, I grew up on just traditional like tavern style pizza, which is cut into little squares. And the reason they cut it in squares is because the idea is you're going to drink a pint of beer and snack on the pizza. Or if in my family's case, let's try and feed four kids a pizza that's cut into squares and convince them they're eating a lot when they're not.
Right. Right. That's exactly. You know what the thing about square, when you cut into squares is, so I'm from Boston. So there's a couple places that cut into squares, but it's not super popular there's not a lot of places that do it. The thing that I find about, you're right, cutting it into squares is I never know how much I'm eating. Like when it's cut into a large, you know, a 16 or a 20 inch pizza is cut into eight or however many you cut it. Like, you know, all right, I ate three slices. You know how much you ate. Never know how many I eat when it's cut into square. I'm always going to guess.
You will easily eat the whole pie and be like, I didn't eat a whole pie of pizza. I don't see any bones laying behind. So you're like, I'm so good.
True. Yeah, it's so true. How did you get into, so when did you start the Za Report?
So I started the Za Report as a blog when I first started working with Scott. And I hadn't really touched it that much. And, you know, my whole thing is that I was a creative director. I had my own company. I still do. But I gave pizza tours once a week as like, quote unquote, the best paid hobby on the planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I started going to the Pizza Expo, I began documenting things a little bit more. And then the last year that I was doing pizza tours with Scott, I was dating somebody who volunteered me to bake pizza up at her boss's place in Connecticut, and like really nice outdoor wood fired oven. And I was like, I have no clue what I'm doing. So, you know, I got a basic recipe and I just sort of figured it out and I kind of loved it a little bit. And then I came back, I started experimenting a little bit more. And it's, if you go through my Instagram feed and you really scroll down, you can see where I started. And it's like, it's mind blowing a little bit to see the transition of being like just this novice pizza baker that really didn't know much to where I've gotten at this point in my pizza career. But I went through a breakup and pizza baking sort of became this vehicle for me to bring friends over every Sunday. I really wanted to figure out how to make Sicilian pizza, because like the first time I made it, and I should post those photos just to show people like there is hope. If you really love pizza, there is hope that if you're that person that takes a piece of dough and you put it in the cookie sheet, and then you're like, why isn't it the size? And you just start like pushing it out and stretching it and pressing it down. And then you're like, all right, I think I'm ready to make Sicilian pizza. Let me just throw the sauce on top and the cheese the way I see the big guys do it. And then you like pull it out of the oven and you're like, it doesn't look anything like it. It's raw. And I'm like there, the first time I ever made Sicilian pizza, we literally threw it in the garbage and ordered from Jason Brunetti. I'm like, thank you, Jason, for saving us. But it was that bad. So what happened was I went through the breakup and I decided that I needed to figure out how to conquer this. And I discovered Forza Pizza, Alberto up in Chicago. Like, yeah. He is just, he's like literally the freshest square on the planet. Like, he's such a great guy. His recipes, and I relate to the Midwestern ties, but like, he had some really great recipes that I was able to follow along. And I, you know, my current Sicilian recipe is based off of his, but it's been changed over time to like,
yeah, yeah,
how to like, to be my own. But like, I always have to pay tribute to be like, you are the Mona Lisa that inspired what I've come to now.
I love Alberto.
So, oh, it's great.
He's the best.
I'm normally wearing one of his shirts, but they're all dirty. So I'm wearing my favorite Stanislaw shirt today. And it's funny because Paulie G and I go into about like, he's like a magic guy and I'm a 7-Eleven girl. And he's like, you got to try it. I was like, I try it. And I like the 7-Eleven, but 7-Eleven's also my favorite day of the year because it's Slurpee Day. but it's funny. It's just like, you know, there are differences between 7-Eleven and magic, but Paulie and I will go back and forth. And he's like, listen, take a can. I'm like, I don't need the can. I'm going to save my 7-Eleven. I'm like, I love your sauce on your pie the way it is. And I love this sauce on my pie the way it is. And they're both amazing. So I always tell people, like, go to his spice shop and get yourself the most nostalgic, crust-tastic tasting slice of pizza. But going back to like how I got into this is that, so on January 1st, 2020, I made this vision board that I wanted to, you know, and at the time I was doing corporate pizza tours for Scott. So I was like, well, I'm making enough money that I could stop doing design for a while, but I'm like, I really want to figure out how to do pizza baking. I'm like, maybe I'll do cater events and I'll figure it out. I can teach classes. And I booked a few of those gigs before the pandemic started, but the vision board was like, all right, let's go this pizza way. And I was going to do design for pizza, do some consulting for pizza. And, you know, 2020 was off to a great start. I went to a handful of pizzerias because I was like, I need to learn to bake pizza in my favorite pizzerias. So I asked a handful, and Paulie was the first one to be like, when can you start? And after the first night, you know, he tossed me right in. I worked with Chris. I worked with another one of his bakers named Daniela and Taylor. And
so you went there to make pizza?
Huh?
You went there just to make pizza?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I went there to eat pizza too. I mean, if you've ever been to Greenpoint Ave, like, it's a good place to go get pizza. But yeah, I mean, I went there just to bake pizza. I wanted to learn like how to use this wood-fired oven and the process. Cause I'm like, if I ever like get into pop-ups or open my own pizzeria someday, I need to understand how this be done. Cause like, I was like, oh, I want to open a tavern style pizzeria, but let me learn every style, just like immerse myself in all of it. So, you know, after the first night working there, I just fell and it was like love at first bake. And Colley's like, you know, do you want an apprenticeship? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you know, it doesn't pay like what you normally would make as a creative director. And I was like, I don't care. Like, it's something that I really love doing. And I wound up working there a couple days a week for a few months, and I was doing the pizza tours, and then the pandemic hit and everything changed. And, you know, like a lot of other people, I was like really sad at home and like, what am I going to do? I'm like making chicken noodle soup. I was running around trying to find antibacterial hand soap and sanitizer, which there was none in Brooklyn. But my mom was like, why don't you just bake pizza? And I was like, okay. So, you know, I did what everyone else in Brooklyn did. I made a sourdough starter. It was nice. I had a small child in my fridge for a while. I fed it every day. I burped it at night, you know, moved the rubber band up and down. I made some breads, but then I started baking pizza. And then I was like, well, I'm making like too much pizza. Like I was trying Anthony Falco's recipes with the, you know, he's very high oil percentage.
Yep.
But I was like, loved what he was doing with the sourdough starter. And then I checked out Matt Lucas, Evolution Bake, who's a phenomenal pizza baker and huge inspiration to me. I played with Scott's recipes. I played with Alberto's recipes. And then Baking Steel, his like 72-hour recipe, that is the one I landed on to figure out like how to bake. And because everything I was doing, I was on a Baking Steel.
Andreese is posted the best too. Menu.
Oh, and like his videos, like he's so charismatic. Like, yeah. I kid you not, there are three things that are in my car at all times. An Uni Coda 16 and two Baking Steels and a peel. There's always in my car. And everyone's like, what's in your trunk? I was like, oh, it's my pizza equipment. It's for the road. I have to have
it's
my
so
road.
So funny.
Equipment.
I have that stuff. So I use an Uni at my house too. And like around my house, my wife's like, why is there like 17 peels and metal peels and cutting boards and pizza cutters? I'm like, don't ask. I'm trying to do some stuff here.
They all have like a different use. Like if GI Metal was like, could we send you this like home kit? And I'm like, can I get the professional one? Because that's what I use, the Pauly G's.
Yeah.
And like, I have the stuff that they give the homemakers, but like, I think I'm a little more advanced for that. So like they sent me their shortest peels and like, it's like baking with a unicorn in my hand. I'm like, it just makes everything easier. But yeah, I mean, I can't even count how many peels. Pampered Chef, I did something for them and they sent me, they're like, here, we're going to pay you. And we'll also give you like, I don't know, $500 worth of our merch. And so the whole thing was to test out their baking pizza stone and their peel. And this peel, hold on, I had to get this peel. It's right here. I mean, yeah. I have like 10 of them. Okay, so here's this peel. So this is the Pampered Chef peel. It's a little squatty, but what I love about it, and I know that you're going to understand this, do you see just how thin this is? It goes here.
Yep.
And that is like essential for launching into an oven. And I have a bunch of others, but like this one, not only was it like really thin, I have small hands. So like just the width of the handle was great. It had a really good hole drilled into it, but it's a beautiful peel to display in your home.
I got one right here.
They're like, wait, what is that with this one?
No, that's not that one, but I got one too. See, the other thing too is I use the Uni, so I know like wood peels, if it's not super thin right here, it's hard to get it for that first turn, right? Because
Is yours Pampered Chef? Where's yours from?
This is Baccio Cheese. Baccio Cheese sponsors the podcast, so they just sent me one.
Oh, okay.
So I don't use this one. This is just display.
But that's the thing I'm always searching for. So they're like, hey, we have a dozen of these peels that you need to give away. So I'm like supposed to give these away next week and just to find something fun. I'm gonna find people like that are in need of a good peel and just give them a free peel, because like,
there you go,
it's hard. And like, you can get them on Amazon, but like there's some companies that make them, I just like, it's not that great. And I'm like, maybe I should just launch a new career of just being a pizza peel expert. But like, if you've ever baked in a Breville, I mean, the peel that they have, it's metal, and it's like, if I try to go to the playground and slide down the metal slide right now, you know what's gonna happen when it's 95 degrees and 80% humidity.
Right.
So I actually traded 10 pizza boxes to Adam Kubin for his pizza peel that I could use in the Breville, because it had to be one that was cut down. So then Scott Wiener later works with, I don't remember the name of the company, he works with one of the companies to create a pizza peel that would work with the Breville. But I'm waiting for Breville to come out with a wooden peel that works with their oven. Cause I mean, like once you get the right peel, that's what matters. Like this one I can't use. It's too wide. You need, I think it's 11.5 inches. You need it. So like this one's too wide, but for Baking Steel, this is the peel I always use to bake on Baking Steel now. But But so I was baking pizzas in the apartment using just baking steels. And I was giving them away for free to anyone in my building that lost their job or EMTs. That's good. Somebody outside of the building was like, well, can I get some pizza? And I'm like, all right. And at that time, I'm like, I thought the pizza was like the best pizza I've ever made in my life. Little did I know that like things were going to just slowly change over the past year and a half. And before I knew it, I had, people were waiting a week for the pizza because I was only baking six a night. And that's how I was staying busy. Like, wow. We were stuck in the apartment. We couldn't go out. Everything was shut down. And people also felt safer getting pizza from one person versus if the restaurants were open doing takeout.
So you were using the same recipe for all these six pizzas, or were you kind of like tweaking it and like that's what you were doing? You were using this as a way to, all right, I get rid of the pizza, but now I get to work on my recipe.
The recipe was evolving. So I started with the baking steel 72-hour. I love the idea of doing like a, that's just my dog. The pizza's not actually alive. I started with that recipe. And then the thing was that like, you know, his recipe's like, you need a 50% King Arthur bread flour, 50% King Arthur all purpose. But like, there was also like the sourdough craze that everyone was going through. So like, everyone bought the flour. So I was going around to every grocery store I could every Friday and buying up all the King Arthur flour I could. And then eventually I got a bagel shop to like get me a bag of Galahad, like 55-pound bag, and the guys brought it by. But I figured out how to get the supplies in bulk. But, you know, I was using those. And then I went to go see Roberto Teste because Scott was like, well, he's got some flour he's not using. And so Roberto gives me like two clear garbage bags filled with Americana.
Wow.
And I'm like, what am I gonna do with this? And because it's a really high protein flour.
Right.
So what I discovered was Alberto's like, oh, it's great for Sicilian. And that became the flour I was using my Sicilian. But then I couldn't use that just for my rounds because at that point, Breville, their PR company, loaned me one of the ovens. So I was able to bake more pizza because I was giving away the pizza for free. And they're like, oh, you're helping people. Like, let us help you.
Yeah.
But I wound up, you know, switching things over using the Galahad mix with the Americana, and it worked really well for creating two different style pizzas out of my Breville. So my apartment became a speakeasy pizzeria where I was using my old dingy oven to make Sicilian pizza. And then I was using the Breville's to bake round pies. So I do New York style or Neapolitan-ish. But it's interesting. Like if you go through the feed, you can see how I transitioned from like, and how I was learning along the way and teaching people, you know, like I messed up a lot of stuff along the way from baking pizza, but it was surreal to go through that. And before I started baking out of this restaurant, which I'm popping up out of now, there was a 3-month wait for pizza. Like I couldn't answer messages quick enough. So, but I'm slowly transitioning to like, you know, I've been doing all my own marketing, all my own PR. I was fortunate enough that the New York Times picked me up very early on, and that gave a lot of momentum, because not only was I doing something for a good cause, but also the quality of the pizza was there because, you know, I've been surrounded by people in the industry, who, you know, mastered the craft of good pizza. And rather than like trying to do what they were doing, I just was inspired by everybody. And now the recipe I use is, you know, it's a 5-day process to make my dough. And I tell people, I'm like, you're not getting like a 24-hour ferment. And there are people that are like, you can do a Poolish, you can do it all in 24 hours. And
yeah.
I tried it and I'm like, no, I think I want to go through the pain in the butt in the way of like making my Poolish 4 days beforehand. Or it's like some people say it's your pre-ferment, like it's a Poolish. But then, you know, I do a 2-day cold bulk ferment and then I ball it 2 days and then it's good to go. But like the flavor is just magnificent. So, I mean, I literally, it's funny. Here, let me show you this photo. So I catered a wedding 2 weeks ago and I made goodie pies for everybody to take home for the wedding. So they all got a box with a pie in it. And one of the waiters came in and dump something in one of these boxes and puts a name on it. Said this one's going home to this specific person. And I thought it was it's like the ultimate compliment. I don't know if you can see this.
Is it on your Instagram?
No, I haven't posted this yet.
All right.
But
I'm gonna pull you. Hold on. Hold it up there.
Can you see what's inside their box?
Yeah. What is that?
That's the crust that was left over on their plate.
That's awesome. They took the crust home?
They took the crust home. They took their crust home. I'm like, is that? I was like, you like my crust that much? That's the biggest compliment. Because, like, yeah, I mean, like, you're in Boston. So you've probably been in the Centarpios in the East End or East Boston where you're like, you walk in and what's the first thing you see on every person's plate is the crust.
Yeah.
Because Centarpios has a dry crust. You just want the, you want the inside of the pizza. You want just the cheese and the sauce. And so it's, right. You know, it's one of those things I always observe is when people leave behind the bones, so to speak, it has to do with like the quality of that crust were good. You wouldn't leave it behind.
No,
so.
the crust should be the best part.
All of it should be that's the foundation. I'm sorry, but your house has to sit on something. If you don't have a good foundation, you're just going to sink into the ground. So yeah, it is. It's the most important element. And like, a lot of people tell me, like, your pizza has ruined other pizza for me. And I'm like, you know why? Because you're eating pizza where they really do not care about the foundation, which is the crust. That dough needs love.
Yeah. It's not just something like, too, like, you know, I get the chance to talk to, like you, a lot of great pizza makers and pizzaiolas. And the one thing they always say to me is, it's never perfected. It's always a work in progress. No matter who you talk to, it's always something that they're continuously working on, trying to improve, trying and testing new things. And those are the people who have the best crust. You know, if you have a recipe that you haven't changed in 5 years, you know, maybe it's time to look at that and be like, all right, how can you improve upon that recipe?
Yeah, I always say, like, it's not about creating the perfect pizza, but it's about creating a pizza for that day, that night, for that person to enjoy. So, like, the wedding, I had an extra tray of dough. And I'm like, I'm not letting 12 pies go to waste. So like, you know, I went out and bought a ton of ice to get them back home safely. And I reballed them. And I used those, those came home on a Saturday night. I used them for a Monday bake. Now, what I told everyone when they picked up the pie, I said, you're getting really special pizza. This dough was made last Thursday. So it was super old dough. Actually, no, that was for a Saturday. It was made on a Wednesday. So and the thing was, I'm like, there are no black speckles. I'm good. The yeast isn't dead. There aren't gas bubbles. I don't have a bunch of bubbles on top. Like, it looked firm and good. And like, so when we stretched it, you know, I have someone who helps me. I said, all right, here's the deal. You're going to have to bake. I had to stretch because I had to be so gentle. And I call it Betty White dough. My sister's like, you're always insulting Betty White. I go, Betty White is very old. And she's very fragile. And when your dough is very old, it's very fragile. Like, you could pick it up and it could just, boom. So you have to have like a magic touch. So, but like that, the flavor of that pizza, like it just gets a little more sour. Like, and people are like, is it sourdough? I was like, no, it's just Betty White dough. It's super old. but like, it's amazing. Like, it's one of the things that Pauly does too, is like, he talks to his customers. So every time I give somebody a pizza, I'll tell them, like, do you want to know what goes into this pizza? Do you know about my pizza? All right. It's aged to what I call crustfection. Like, it's something that you're going to really appreciate the flavor behind this. And it makes them think more about where they're getting pizza from. And I encourage people after they get pizza from me, I'm like, go support local pizzerias. I'm like, these are the guys who also need you. It's not just me. There's a family of us here. But yeah, I mean, that dough, like, it's, and when I'm making dough, like, if it's hot or it's humid, depending upon the weather, like, I'm going to adjust the level of yeast that I'm putting into the poulish and the water that I'm doing into my mix, depending upon the day. You know, what's the temperature of the AC in the room that I'm making the pizza dough? Is the walk-in a little bit colder today because they haven't been in there for a few days? So there are all these variables, like, I never thought about when I was baking at home, because when I was at home, you know, it was always 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, right.
My AC was always blowing out steam, or blowing out, not smoke, but like, you could see all the moisture, the condensation coming from the AC. It was so hot in here. And it's part of the reason I'm not baking as much from home anymore. It's just like, I want the consistency and the quality of the pizza to be better. And it's tough, but like, there are a lot of things you take into consideration to get that dough just right for that day. But like, again, it's not like people think that they can just pick up a book and bam, like, well, there's a lot of stuff that's not in that book. And it just comes from doing it yourself. Yes. And I encourage people, like, figure it out. Just test and test and test, and whatever works for you, works for you. Like, when people say, can I have your dough recipe? And they're like, No, go find a recipe and figure it out. Like,
right.
Would you, do you go up to Chris Bianco and say, can I have your recipe? Like, no, right. You know, you think he's going to give it to you? No, I'll tell you to go open a book.
You can, and
Tony
listen.
Geminani has a great book. Go right. Open that one up.
Exactly.
Pizza Bible has lots of great recipes.
I got three.
So there's Mastering Pizza.
Yeah, I got three or four great pizza books right over there that people send me, and they all have different recipes. But like you said, it's only as good as you do it. It's like Instagram, right? Like your Instagram is fantastic. You can tell somebody all day long how to do Instagram, but you only get really good at Instagram by doing Instagram.
Yeah. And I'm like, you got to spend time on Instagram, using Instagram.
Yep.
If you expect to for the community to give back to you. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what I was before I was baking pizza. I specialized in brand strategy and marketing and design. So my job was to work with my clients on brand strategy and how to use Instagram. And now I find myself like in their shoes and I'm like, whoa, I was like, do I need to pay for sponsored ads? And I was like, I refuse to. I'm like, you know what? Just let it be how it is. And everything is like word of mouth and just put authentic content out there. And the pizza world is going to just hug you back.
Yeah. Pizza, Instagram, the people who are on Instagram love pizza. And I love, you know what else I love you do on Instagram? You do a lot of Instagram lives, which your enthusiasm is great.
Oh, the live at five. Yeah. Those are coming back. I took a little bit of a break, but like, I've got some equipment. I'm going to start doing more home baking.
Yep.
And I'm going to be doing some stuff with Uni, but yeah, the live at five, like I think this is my first live at five with an Uni where I broke the pie in the oven, set it on fire. And I was like, hey, you know what? I'm trying to be perfect. And look what happened. I broke a pie. But I'm like, this is great. Let me teach y'all how to deal with an oven that's on fire. Blow it out, scrape it out, turn your heat up, burn it off. You're good.
That was live on Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sounds like a interesting live video for sure.
I've been tossing dough on live at five. Just go right on the ground and be like, no, that one's done. I gotta go tell someone else downstairs they're not getting their pie tonight.
So how often are you doing?
I only make so many dough balls.
Right. How often are you doing pop-ups nowadays?
So I am at a restaurant space twice a week. They gave me their two slowest nights of the week. So they're like, yeah, use our restaurant. Nobody comes to meet anyhow. So I pre-sell 90% of the pizza before the pop-up date.
Really?
It's for me, I'm like, I'm guaranteed revenue and I can pay the person who's helping me.
Right.
But yeah, people are willing to buy it. And then people get angry and they try to walk in and buy pizza. I'm like, there's only 10 up for grabs. So snooze, you lose.
Now, do those people find you from Instagram? Is that how they've been following along?
They found me from Instagram. I have a bit of a following on Instagram and then there's word of mouth. So I finally got a website launched where I have online ordering implemented. The Sicilian pizza, that all sells out. Like the first time I posted my Sicilian pizza on my website for pre-sale, it sold out in a minute.
Really?
I was like, whoa, feel kind of special. But like it started to slow down a little bit. So now now the pizza generally sells out. The Sicilian sells out in under an hour and then the rounds will be up for about 2 days. And then I will sporadically post random slots on my website when nobody's looking just to be kind of to keep it fun and fresh for people.
That's
so there's
funny.
A Sicilian there.
Yeah. Which one's the Sicilian?
So
this one. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good. That's the baby butter MJ.
That looks great.
It's a Michael Jordan. It takes 23 hours to make that bad boy.
Wow.
So hence the Michael Jordan part of it. It's a red top. That one's got the pepperoni on it. Darren with Ezzo, he was great. He was hooking me up with pepperoni.
Is this one Sicilian too?
So that was the one I developed for the wedding, and I learned how to bake these in the Uni.
Yes, that's
but
hard.
Those are a little 6x6 baby butter MJ. That one in particular, I'm using the Piccolo tomatoes from Stanislaw, but I par bake it in one of my little Lloyd pans in a conventional oven between two baking seals. And then I finish off the bake in the new Uni Karu 16.
Yep.
The Coda, it's very difficult because you can't trap the heat. So you're going to get kind of like a soggy or really soft. It's got square sag. It's where the square just but I found with the Karu, because you can trap all the heat and you can control the vents and I can turn it down to like 500 degrees and then I'll continually rotate the pan in the oven. It actually can maintain the crunch, which is great.
Yeah, like I found it. Yeah, my Uni, I couldn't do it because the front door doesn't close, so it's just open. You can't. I couldn't do that because like you said, it doesn't trap
Yeah,
the
you're in the Coda 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Coda is great. I mean, but like the new one that they just launched, the Karoo 16. It's one, the size is great, and I think I'm the only person that works with them right now that's visibly using the gas burner on it. Everyone else is using wood or coal
Yeah.
because I'm in New York, and the whole thing with fire code is I can't.
Right.
For one, I can't be indoors. Two, it's like to do wood or coal in a commercial space, like you have to have permits to do that. And I'm just like, let me just use the propane because I know that I can do that. But so you know, it's got its unique challenges. That flame, it's like a flamethrower. Like I feel like I'm in Ghostbusters when I'm baking pizza because like it shoots all the way across the top and almost to the front door if it's turned all the way up. But there's a lot of room for you know experimenting and doing cool things. You can roast meats in there. You can cook a lot
Wow.
of other things. But like Sicilian, that oven you can do Sicilian in, but you do have to par bake it in another oven before you use it. So that's like one full disclosure. They're all par baked.
Yeah, that's usually what I think. I was talking to Lewis from Peels on Wheels as well. He does a lot of Sicilians, and he said the same thing. You got to par bake it before you do it in those, even
Yeah,
if you
and
have an
even
Uni or a
Chris from
Gosney.
Slice, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, like, how are you doing? He's like, oh, he makes all of it ahead of time, and then he just reheats them in there. Which you could do, you just make sure you put it on something, not directly on the stone, because you will destroy that stone. I mean, the stone that's in the Uni, the Coda 16, and the Karoo, it's very thin.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a pop-up, you've got to have at least two of them
Oh,
because you
really?
need a couple minutes. Yeah, you need a couple minutes for the stone to recover. Because after you bake one pie in there, the temperature of the stone in the middle is generally around like 650. It'll drop to the fours. So unless you have a gun and you really keep an eye on it, because at first I'm like, why are my bottoms not
Yeah.
baking? And if I was just launching the pies in one after the other, like I was at, you know, like a place like Paul G's, but like that's a real wood fired oven where it's maintaining that temperature of 1,000 degrees, and you've got to be very quick while you're firing four pies. They're here, it's one pie, but like, you have to give it I think the at least 2 minutes of rest, and you can also play with the temperature. So but yeah, that was like one of the things I struggled with when I first started using that oven was recovery time. And even with the Breville, same thing. I was baking 20 pies a night, and you know, you can't get more than four of those every 30 minutes because the bottom's gotta have recovery if you're just using one Breville. I
Yeah.
have two of them. I broke two of them, but I have two more of them.
So what do you do with the
So
two, what do you do with the two plates or the two stones? You put them on top of each other, or how do you do that?
oh, in the oven, there should be a photo on Instagram, but there's you have two. So I have one that is 4 inches from the bottom and one that's 4 inches from the top.
Yeah.
And for my baby bar MJ, actually, because it's 18 inches wide and my oven is like 18 inches wide, I turn it at a diagonal. And so I par bake it, and then I put it on a bottom at an angle, topped. Halfway through the bake, I rotate it. But what you're doing is you're using the heat from the top steel to push more heat down on the bottom. And it's just you're not at a traditional, like, even though my oven might be 500 degrees, I'm getting a much hotter base, and the steels are keeping my oven hotter, so I'm
Got
not
it.
losing the heat. But yeah, so I rotate between the top and the bottom. So when I finish off that pie, it goes to the top shelf, and then another one goes in on the bottom. Yeah, there are people that are like, oh, you can't bake more than one at a time, and like, yes, you can. It takes a little longer.
Yeah, you gotta figure, you gotta
So
maneuver it
bake
around a little
twice.
bit too.
It's like double your pleasure. Put two in there at a time. Why
Right?
not?
Do whatever you gotta do. You can figure it out. Everything's figure outable.
Yeah, I mean, every pizza maker is different. Like, listen, at the end of the day, as long as your pizza comes out, it tastes great, it makes you happy, it makes your customer happy, that's all that matters.
Some of
But
the
like,
best pizza I've ever
you
made at my house has been on like a cookie sheet. I just put the dough on there, stretch it out, get a good sauce, some good cheese, and I'm good to go.
right? It's good cheese, good sauce, you're good. I
Yeah.
mean, finding cheese when that at the height of the pandemic, I was trading pizza to the grocery store up the street because they would have Polio and Galbani would be on sale.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, how do I get all the Galbani I could possibly get when I can only buy four per house? So I traded pizza
Wow.
because I considered them their essential workers. I'm like, you guys wouldn't want to be here if you had a choice, but you're here because you're essential. So I would take them pizza, and they'd also let me get like eight things of cheese. And I was using an empty apartment in this building to store everything in a fridge. So like I literally had a kitchen next to my apartment to do everything in.
Wow, I love your resourcefulness.
Thanks. You know, it's the New Yorker in me. I mean, I know I'm from Ohio originally, but like the New Yorker in me is just like, you just got to be like very resourceful and quick on your feet.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're gonna do great. I feel like you're gonna be amazing. Miriam, where can people go
Great.
follow you if they want to say hello to you, or if they want to come to one of your pop-ups? Where should they go check you out so they can know about this?
You can check me out the Za Report on Instagram or the zareport.com. I'm most active on the Za Report. I post a lot of stuff in the stories, so I tell people turn your notifications on because when I give away free pizza, that's how you score them. When I do special events, I've got one coming up that I just announced last Friday with Scott Wiener for Slice Out Hunger,
Nice.
where Russo's is a butcher shop that helped me out by getting supplies. So I am helping them out by doing an event with them to promote the Italian butcher shop, and then we're donating money to one of the food banks here in Brooklyn. But I'll be there next Saturday, baking up 50 pies for first come first serve. Some of them are pre-sale, but that's a way for people to score those pizzas on a nice Saturday afternoon.
Excellent. We'll link all that up in the show notes as well for this episode. Miriam, don't go anywhere, but thank you so much for hanging out with me here on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. As I like to say, have a slice day.
Thanks to Miriam for joining us on the podcast. Very much excited to talk to her. Go check it out, smartpizzamarketing.com. That's where we take all the show notes for you. We'll link up her Instagram, her website. You can go check out what she's doing. Highly recommend you follow her on Instagram. She's very creative and does a very, very good job of promoting and marketing herself in a good way on Instagram. It'll give you some inspiration and some ideas for sure. Also, don't forget, go subscribe to our local business podcast. We've been putting out some great episodes over there about podcasting, about content creation, about how to make your business stand out. This week's episode, we're talking with Kyle and Sarah about what platforms you should be on. Should you be on every platform? LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, email. There's so many platforms they're available for you to market your business. Should you be on every single one of them? That's the discussion we have on the Local Business Podcast this week. Go subscribe. We'll link it up in the show notes for this episode as well if you're listening to on iTunes. All right, that's enough. Thank you so much for tuning in. Very much appreciated. If you need to get a hold of me, bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email, or @smartpizzamarketing on the Instagrams if that's your jam. And we'll see you next time on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast.